Welcome to the Friday, February 24th, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I am recording today from Jacksonville, Florida. Today to start out, we got an update on DNS changer. Now, the update here is that the clean DNS server that's being operated by ISC.org in conjunction with the FBI may actually stay alive for longer than originally planned. The reason for the extension is there are still a lot of users that are infected with DNS changer and still need to be notified. The FBI has now officially requested an extension of the original court order that established this DNS server, and it's now up to the judge. I haven't really seen any result yet, but it should come within the next couple days. And then CDNet had an interesting article about a GPS jammer detection network in the UK. A company operates 20 sensors that they deployed in different parts of the country to detect interference with a GPS. And they claim they have detected 67 incidents of jamming of GPS signals. Now, as they point out in the article, what they detected is interference with the signal. They aren't really sure where the interference comes from, but it is consistent with sort of these handheld jammers that you're able to purchase. In the UK, like pretty much anywhere else, these jammers are illegal to operate, but they're definitely available. Now, the reasons why someone does run a GPS jammer may be manifold. For example, they're afraid of the privacy implications of having GPSs in your phone and such. The harm, of course, they could cause is pretty real because there are a lot of things that are not obviously GPS related that depend on GPS, in particular depend on GPS as a timing signal. A lot of communication systems and such use GPS as a timing signal, even if they're not really interested in deriving coordinates from it. And if the GPS signal is sufficiently jammed, those systems may fail. And Apple is giving developers a little bit more time to implement sandboxing in Mac applications that are going to be published in the Mac App Store. So this is the application store for OS X, not the iOS App Store. What sandboxing means is that the application only has access to resources in its own directory or in a limited set of directories. It's a real great sort of security and also privacy feature in the sense that it's easier to control, for example, whether an application has access to something like an address book, but it's hard to implement in some applications, in particular in hindsight. It's not that hard to implement if you write a new application, but an old application that never really concerned itself with limiting access to different resources that are sort of scattered all over the system will have a hard time implementing this, and that's probably why Apple now decided to not enforce this requirement on March 1st, but instead to wait until June to enforce this requirement. Part of the reason for pushing back that requirement is also that the latest update to OS X, 10.7.3, included some further sandboxing features, which should make it easier in the long run for developers to take advantage of this feature. And in false positives today, Avira had false positives that affected its desktop product as well as the antivirus server products. Typically, you'll find it on Unix mail servers. If you're ever affected by now, it should be all over and new signatures have been pushed live. And well, that's it for today. Next week, of course, RSA Conference is going to start out. I'll be again on a panel with Alan Pollard and at SCOTUS on Tuesday morning, I believe it is. It's the first day of the conference. If any of you attends the two-day IPv6 class ahead of the RSA conference, well, say hi, and I always have some Storm Center stickers with me. I'll also try to leave some with the Sands booth at the conference. And well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.